Thank you, Colin. Wasn't that amazing? As we were praying, the PowerPoint came back on. You know, if you had just prayed earlier in the service, you know, we'd have had it up. But I guess it was more than that. You know, is God in technology? Well, yes. Are gremlins in technology? Yeah. Never know. Turn in your Bibles with me to the third epistle of John. 3 John. Not many verses in this chapter. Probably don't hear too many sermons from this expository sermon, some of the third epistle of John. But I think there's a message for us in this. So we'll read verses 1 through 6. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when the brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when you are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that you would speak to us today, that we, like this friend of John, would be healthy in every regard, both in our soul and in our physical bodies, walking in the truth, acting faithfully, and loving the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you've noted, the topic of our message, are you healthy? You know, this is a really issue not only that has been prominent this last year, but always is kind of our number one concern. I mean, we often are concerned and talk about politics or the economy or weather, and that is very predominant in our lives and affects everything and all we do. But far surpassing that is the matter of health. Because what difference is politics and economy and all of that if we're not healthy? Is our primary concern is critical life. As we all know, health is critical to the quality of life, to have meaningful activity. And lack of good health, of course, jeopardizes enjoyment of life and the things that we're able to do. But as we get older, I find that it becomes more and more prominent in the focus of what life is all about. We still get the prayer list from our former church, Morrison Heights Baptist Church, and our life group there. And it is just a litany of doctor visits. Who's having surgery and doctor visits and ailing? Honestly, I get kind of tired of reading the prayer list. It just leaves me depressed and despondent. But it leaves me grateful that at least we've been blessed, that I've been blessed. You know, and I remember when we were used to counsel at our food pantry every week at the church, and people who would come and didn't have adequate income and so dependent on getting those groceries and some clothes. And Bobby and I would do the counseling and counsel with people about spiritual needs and so forth. And it was just sad that so many of them were in disability. They couldn't work, even if they wanted to. They were not able to work, and they just didn't have the income to provide for themselves and their family because of lack of health. Well, I don't want to put a guilt trip on anyone or chide you, and certainly nothing personal here, but I recently read an article that Mississippi is the unhealthiest state in the nation. That it actually leads the nation in the per capita obesity, diabetes, more than any other state, high blood pressure. We have the lowest tenure of life expectancy. than any state in the nation. And so physical health is definitely a concern. We're all aware of that. You watch any television show, 70% of the commercials are pharmaceuticals, telling you about illnesses you never knew you had. I mean, they're creating hypochondriacs of us. You know, well, maybe I need to take that medication or that medication. Well, I've never heard of that illness, but hey, my symptoms may reflect some of that. And so it's interesting that John, in addressing his friend, is praying that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now, a lot of the focus of our prayer list, and you get this by mail, and we talk about this and lift up people and intercede people with health needs. And as I often say, we need to be faithful in praying for those with special medical and health needs, because one day you will be on that list. I mean, all of us are going to be on that list, and we need people praying for us as John was praying for Gaius. But he contrasted praying for his health as his soul prospers, apparently acknowledging that he was very healthy spiritually and his soul. So the issue I really want you to be confronted with today is not about your health and make anyone feel depressed or despondent and talking about all the health challenges that we have, especially at the age like me, as some of you are getting to and even surpass. But how healthy are you spiritually? Could it be said that your soul is prospering regardless of how you feel in your body, the illnesses and the medications that you take? Is your soul prospering, your spiritual health? Just three things you might have noted that characterize this. One is walking in truth. Is your faith strong? And not just what you believe, but are you living it and following it and walking in the truth of God's word? Are you acting faithfully, faithfully serving others, engaged in ministry and outreach and loving others within and outside the congregation? And could we testify to your love for the church, the body of Christ, being a part of that expression of Christ in the world today, which is reflected in your faithfulness here today? Well, the doctors tell us that there are three basic factors that affect our health. What we eat, healthy eating, our diet, exercising, and rest. And so you've heard this a number of times. I don't need to dwell on it. What do they basically say? Moderate your eating, eat your fruits and vegetables, and you need a lot of natural fiber. Fiber, fruits, vegetables, you know, that will do it. But the problem is what's not included in that. Avoid red meat, carbohydrates. Man, we like our steak and potatoes. Avoid sugars and sweets. Ice cream, cheesecake, oh my gracious. And avoid all that fatty food, fried chicken, fried pork chops, fried okra, fried catfish, oh my goodness. No wonder it's so hard to maintain a healthy diet. You know, and those all-you-can-eat buffets, you know, I think we've been fortunate. This is one of the good things of COVID, that you can't go and just go through a buffet line, everybody touching those spoons, getting all their food, and breathing on it. And, you know, maybe that's contributed to your health, but what a temptation. You know, when we go to a buffet, Bobby always kind of surveys the, you know, the food that's out there and kind of plans what to partake in and what not to, and choose. My approach is to strategize how I'm going to partake in all of it when you can't get it all on your plate at one time. I remember a church member who wouldn't be the most healthiest person, I'll just say that. I won't say anything about his health, but enjoyed those all-you-can-eat buffets and says, well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, you know, when he says, run not without aim. I fight not as beating my body, but I buffet my body. Well, it's really buffet my body, which means to fight, discipline. But right there, B-U-F-F-E-T, buffet. He said, go to the buffet, right there in the Bible. Well, that's not going to contribute to healthy eating. But the doctor also says you need to balance that with good exercise. It's just not a matter of your diet. My doctor was been trying to get me to lose a little weight. Actually, I've been losing weight. I lost 30 pounds this last year. Well, it was the same 10 pounds, you know, that I lost three times. And I don't know why. You know, it's hiding away. I lose it, but it's hiding away somewhere in my body because it just keeps coming back. And so he was asking about my exercise. I said, oh, I get a lot of exercise. I walk from my recliner to the refrigerator several times a day. Well, that's not really good. I kind of resist being identified as a couch potato, but in football season, now March Madness, the basketball tournament coming up, you know, I just have to acknowledge I don't do the walking and jogging and, you know, I even have a treadmill, you know, right there in front of my television. And football season starts, I said, well, you can just watch what's going on and walk at the same time. So I said, well, if I walk every quarter of a football game, 1 mile every quarter, you know, that's a little rest time in between and give me a good workout. Well, it records the number of calories you use. And I jogged for about an hour and said, wow, I've burned up 140 calories already. And then I looked at the calorie intake of those two big slices of pizza I ate afterwards, 400 calories. It's a no-win situation of how to, you know, just doctors recommend an hour a day of exercise and at least some of it with aerobic exercises that get your heart beating stronger. And it just takes so much discipline to be healthy. But then the third element is rest. Man, I get a gold star here, especially since I've retired. You know, I get an hour nap every afternoon. I get 8 hours sleep every night. Don't have to get up, go to the office. And I kind of prepare for those 8 hours sleep with about 4 hours in my recliner, you know, watching television, starting with the 6 o'clock news and then to about 10 o'clock and go to bed. So, man, I've gotten a good 13 hours of rest every night. Well, has that made me any more healthy? You know, we were made for 16 hours of work and 8 hours of rest. You may not get it, but there's rest more than just the physical rest. That's why we have a Sabbath. We're just to stop the things that bring pressures and stress and concerns and distractions, to just rest spiritually and mentally. It's a part of our health. Well, you may be more successful than I in adhering to the advice on how to eat healthy, rest, get the proper amount of exercise, but how do we prosper and be healthy spiritually? Well, that diet is obviously not feeding at the buffet, eating our fruits and vegetables, but feeding on the Word of God. Now, you may read your Bible every day, but I want to challenge you. Are you really feeding on the Word, making it a part of your heart and your life and your body? Are you just snacking? Now, we take in a lot of junk food, the things we read, the things we watch on television, and you just know you're not going to be healthy and prosper spiritually with too much junk food, a diet of junk food, but neither just snacking on the Word of God. You know, check off a chapter, read it today, move on another chapter, check that off, read it. Hour later, end of the day, you don't remember what you read. You hadn't really fed on the Word of God. And I just want to make some suggestions. Better than not reading at all, but to read, as I remind my students in class, is to read with comprehension. What do you take away with it? What stays with you and nurtures your heart and your body spiritually? The best pattern that I have learned, let's just say one of my favorite books is Philippians. Four chapters, not very long. And if I want to feed on the Word of God, I read all the way through the book of Philippians. Just to get the overview, the task, see how it flows, how each of those lessons move into the other. And then the next day, I'll go back and I'll read the first chapter three or four, maybe six times. And then when I get to chapter two, the next day, I'll read chapter one and read chapter two, four, five times. Read it over and over. And you can't really read and feed your bodies without journaling and taking notes. I mean, educators tell us how much more we learn by just what we hear over against what we actually read and we record and take notes. And so, what does it say? Take a moment to meditate it and let God feed you from His Word. This is God speaking to you. What did I learn about God and His nature? What did I learn about the Christian life? What did I learn? What did it say about things that I should avoid and the things of the world and that are not pleasing to God, that do not help me to grow? What does it say about what I ought to be doing and how to be living? Write down those little nutritious nuggets, those verses that need to become a part of your life and assimilated into you, journaling it. And finally, pray it back. Whatever you've read, God is speaking to you. Pray back those promises. Claim them to God. Pray for the leadership of His Spirit to walk in that way of what His Word is teaching. And the Word of God has become a part of you. Now, why do we not take time and really get into and just think a brief cursory reading of a passage of Scripture is feeding on God's Word? No. The enemy doesn't want you to prosper. If Satan can't keep you from giving your heart and soul to Jesus Christ and being saved, then he's going to be doing everything in your life to keep you weak, ineffective in serving the Lord, so that your soul doesn't prosper to the glory of God. And the Scripture tells us that what is the victory that overcomes Satan? Faith is the victory. 1 John, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. In 1 Peter, you resist Satan, who's like a roaring lion trying to devour you, take control of you. You resist him firm in your faith. We've been given the shield of faith to resist the temptations of Satan. Well, how do you get faith? From the Word of God, Romans 10:13. You know, hearing comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But it's not just a cursory reading. You have to feed. Go to that buffet of the Word of God. I don't think I've ever said this and acknowledged it perfectly. But, I mean, publicly. Few intimate conversations, people discipling and so forth. And I've mentioned fasting before, and I hope to get back to that again, the value, the meaningfulness of fasting. There was one occasion, a time of deep crisis in my life, that God led me to fast for 40 days. And it was amazing to see the scriptural reflection of the strength that God gives when you rely upon Him and are seeking Him with all of your heart instead of food and worldly, physical things. At the time, I was jogging 2 miles a day. There was a street intersection a mile from my house and beautiful shaded boulevard, and I would jog up there and back. And I said, I'm not probably not going to be able to maintain this, but I'm going to keep jogging, you know, just for physical stamina and strength, even though I'm not eating. And every morning, I jogged for 2 miles throughout those 40 days, not eating any food. And that 40th day, it was such a glorious time of celebration, and I felt so good. I turned around and jogged 2 more miles. But not eating, having extra time, seeking the Lord fervently in my heart, I said, what does God want me to do with terms of Bible study and reading and seeking Him? And I'm kind of mystical. I feel like God speaks to you. I really do. And I felt like God saying to you, read the Bible. Read the Bible. The whole Bible. And as I began to read, I found that you can read, you know, not just real fast reading, but comprehension, about 10 chapters in an hour. And that's kind of slow reading. So if you got 3 meals a day, and you, instead of eating, you read God's Word for an hour, can read 30 chapters a day. And I kind of added it up, and in 40 days, you can read the whole Bible. And I did. And I had never had the insight and the revelation and understanding of Scripture. It was like watching a movie that just flowed, how God was acting and the nature of God. And two things I carried away from it. One is God is in control. And it gave me a new appreciation for His sovereignty and my life being in His hands. The other thing is, you don't mess with. But it was an amazing insight into the Word to just read it all the way through. Faith is the victory. Claim the promises of God. Oh, I remember the church I pastored before we went to the mission field. I noticed one of the men in the church where he sat. I always sat in the same place. And I noticed after church, he left his Bible there. And I noticed that, you know, for several weeks and just thought he had forgotten. Take it. And I mentioned to him, said, I noticed you just leave your Bible at church. He said, yeah, so it'll be there when I come next week, you know, for church. Well, that says something about your Bible and in the Word of God. He wasn't doing much feeding on the Word of God. But this is how you prosper spiritually, allowing God to speak to you and feeding on His Word. But also the matter of rest. The Bible often talks about resting in the Lord and entering that Sabbath rest when God is in control. It's actually, I like the word relinquishment. You're no longer striving and working. You're relinquishing your burden to God and trusting Him. And how do you do that? In prayer. That's when you release things in your heart, the burdens on your heart and your problems, and let God take care of them. Oh, you know, prayer is the antidote, resting in the Lord, to all that ails us, the burdens of our hearts, our worries and anxieties. 24/7 is like the antidote to temptations and problems. The depression, the discouragement we see, the stress, it's the antidote to it by resting in the Lord and turning it over to Him in prayer. You know, and there's something significant. Now, we don't want to get legalistic about this, and I just really add that little contingency. But it's amazing that you read through the Gospels that Jesus got up every morning before daylight to spend time with the Father. Why? Because here he was, embracing in a physical container his earthly existence. He realized more than ever how important it was to stay in touch with the Father. And you remember he said, the words that I speak are not my words, but the Father's words. The things that I do, the miracles I do, are not my works. They're the Father's work, because he connected with the Father early in the morning, relinquished his day, and whatever happened, whatever he encountered, God was in control of his life. If Jesus needed this, how much more do we? How can we expect God to be taking our burden, to guiding us, empowering us through the day, if we don't have time for him and start our day with him? You know, prior to Pentecost, I mean, we just kind of nailed Pentecost as that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people were saved. Those who had just rebelled and crucified Christ came under conviction and came to the Lord. What happened in Acts 1? They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Gathered in the upper room, praying, relinquishing to the Lord to rest in him. I often think what we might do in the world if we spent that time in prayer, resting in God. You see, it's not being skilled in how to witness or how to appropriate people and the energy and time to witness. It's all about resting in the Lord and just letting him control and lead us. I often counsel with missionary church planters who were discouraged, saw no results whatsoever, many of them ready to throw in the towel and come home, and others just wanting to move to a different place. People are resistant here. We haven't had any breakthrough. We just, you know, it's hopeless. We're just wasting our time here. We need to go someplace else where we could be more productive. And from time to time, I was really led, said, have you ever tried the Pentecost formula? And they said, what is that? I said, for every day you get out in the community and seek to confront people with the claims of Christ and witness to them, that you precede it with 10 days of prayer and fasting. Pray for 10 days and then go out one day and see what was happening. And pray for 10 more days and see what's happening. Never had anyone take me up on that. But I wonder what could happen if we came to that point of resting in the Lord. Paul said, pray without ceasing. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. You see, this is what the Bible says when it says, you don't have to fight this battle of life. Rest in him. God will fight for you. Someone has said, Satan laughs at our toiling, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we get on our knees. Because that's when God takes over. And Ephesians 6:1 says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And it comes from resting in him through prayer. But not only are we to prosper spiritually and feeding on the word and resting in the Lord, but exercise is essential. You know, if all you do is come to church, now that's good. You ought to come to church. I'm going to be preaching on that next week. Our fellowship, assembling together, how important it is to our spiritual health, because there are others in the journey, the same struggle, the same thing. But if that's all you're doing, forgive me, but you're a couch potato. It's just a passive way of living out the Christian life if you're never doing anything more than just coming to church and reading your Bible, praying. That's good. That's healthy. But for what purpose? The scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, you can't be healthy. I can't be healthy just lounging in my recliner or just spending time at my desk, poring over the Word of God. I love it. It's a blessing. But it's all for the purpose of equipping us to work for the Lord, to do things for the Lord, to serve others. The church exists to be a witness to a lost world, to minister to the needs of people around us in our community, to faithfully serve the church. And if we're not doing it, we're not healthy. We're not growing spiritually, because that's not what God is seeking to do through our bodies spiritually. I've made several references to teaching a course this spring on witnessing, on evangelism, especially cross-cultural witness. And it's interesting, once the students read the syllabus and that they're going to have several case studies of witnessing and sharing the gospel with others, which is all a learning experience, always a couple of them drop the class. You know, just scares them to death. And others have a little trepidation and hesitancy, hadn't had a lot of experience, a lot of practice at that. But you can't learn how to witness just going to an evangelism course and saying how to share the gospel. You got to do it. And as interesting as they go and do it, oh, it's pathetic. I read their verbatims and their reports. It was usually pretty pathetic. But you know, one of the best class discussions we had, what'd you learn from this experience? What would you do different next time? And to see them gain confidence and gain boldness in how to share their faith and carry on a gospel conversation. And you have to grow in it. It's like when I'm back in my golfing days before I was a missionary and playing golf, I realized if I didn't play pretty regularly, my game wasn't going to be improved. You got to practice your skills. You can't just learn from a book. And the same thing in serving God. You've got to do it. It's the only way to learn. Yes, you may feel ill-equipped. You may feel ineffective. You may feel like a failure. But as you continue to faithfully serve the Lord and work for Him, you'll find yourself growing to be more physically healthy. Well, how healthy are you? Are you prospering in your soul? It includes a healthy spiritual diet of feeding on God's Word, of resting in the Lord, actively serving Him. But even doing that, you know what? My doctor recommended that I need to take some vitamin supplements. You know, that would just help and just boost my health a little bit. So I want to suggest very quickly in conclusion some vitamins you may consider taking. You know, the doctor said I probably could use some vitamin A. Vitamin A strengthens the immune system. It helps with your vision and cell growth. It is critical to the function of your heart and lungs and kidneys. And he said if you eat fish, dairy products, sweet potatoes, spinach, you know, you can get vitamin A. And these organs are essential to life. And vitamin A helps them to be healthy and strong. But spiritually, vitamin A is your activity and your action. Putting it to work, putting it to task, putting into practice what we ought to do as a Christian. There's no healthy Christian that's a couch potato, that's just passive. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Luke 23, you know, you can just imagine the disciples relishing their time with Jesus, the conversations, the teachings, just the discipling and being with Jesus. But he said, no, go out in the highways and hedges and compel others to come in. He said, feed the hungry, visit the sick and those in prison, reach out to strangers. That's what the Christian life is all about. You need some vitamin A to get active in serving the Lord. But also vitamin B. It's one of the most amazing vitamins, and probably everyone here is on some vitamin B. It's a full spectrum, vitamin B3, B6, vitamin B12, or just complex vitamin B that has a broad impact on our cell function because it affects our metabolism. It converts food into energy. And you can get vitamin B with whole grains and beans and nuts and almonds, but to prosper spiritually, you need the Bible. It's your vitamin B. 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalm 119 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Verse 11, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You need a lot of vitamin B and feeding on your Bible. Then vitamin C is a real prominent, popular, healthy vitamin. It's actually ascorbic acid, an antioxidant, but it promotes healing. It prevents anemia. It's good for blood pressure problems and everything. And you know, you get it through citrus fruit, berries, melons, and broccoli. But what is vitamin C spiritually? It's the Christ life. Letting His presence, developing an awareness of His presence, practicing His presence. As Paul said in Philippians, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says, I determined to know nothing except Christ Jesus in me. And having Christ and awareness, learning to practice the presence of Christ. Take that vitamin C. But also, we're on to vitamin D. I don't know about you, but when I got COVID, I expected the doctor to prescribe some exotic medication that I would get at the pharmacy and said, no, take vitamin D3 and zinc. What? That's it? I've heard a lot of people saying this. It's a preventive to COVID, vitamin D and zinc, because it provides counter to, it helps the immune system. It's an antidepressant. It reduces inflammation, promotes healing and strong bones. And you get vitamin D through being out in the sun, eating fish, milk, and cereals. But what is vitamin D that would help us prosper spiritually? Dedication, devotion, dependability, discipline in our life. As John wrote, being faithful and dependable, dedicated, intentionally serving the Lord. But there's one more vitamin. Vitamin E. I don't know if you're taking vitamin E. The doctors had this on a long time, and I'd like to assume that it works because it has a lot to do with a healthy brain and nervous system, as well as good for your skin, controlling cholesterol. Well, what is vitamin E spiritually to help us prosper? It's eternal life. Eternal life. You know, isn't the purpose of being healthy longevity and quality of life? What are we living for spiritually? For eternity. A quality of life with Jesus Christ. And you know the amazing, miraculous thing about vitamin E? You just have to take it one time. One time. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not perish. Never die. You take this vitamin. But live for all eternity. Matthew 13:3, Jesus says, and he who endures to the end will be saved. With vitamin E. And if you're here or listening by radio and have never taken vitamin E, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You can have eternal life. You can have longevity far beyond what you'll ever hope for in this life. But how healthy are you? How are you prospering? God wants us to be healthy Christians. He's provided all the vitamins, all the nutrients, all that we need for a healthy spiritual diet, to rest in the Lord, and to serve Him. Will you make a commitment to trust Him? And all that you do, the time involved, the money, the medications, the doctor visits, what if you applied that same concern and priority to your spiritual health. Father, I pray that we might be healthy Christians, that our soul would prosper beyond what we are now. As we dedicate our lives to you, feed on your word, and rest in you, and serve you effectively. In Jesus' name, amen.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Following the service, you can come to do the walk to the cross to bring your offering. Let's all stand together to sing our closing song, "There is a Redeemer."
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.